You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Robin Williams. Have you seen Good Morning Vietnam?
Oh, classic.
Good morning, Vietnam. No, I can't do it. I'm no Robin Williams. Good morning, Central Wisconsin.
Gets me every time.
There you go. That was a wonderful movie. Guy that's missed. Boy, what a career he had as well.
Yeah.
I mean, like when we talk about Gene Hackman. Before I get off on a tangent here, let me set things up. It is Thursday morning, February the 27th. Of 2025. It is 37 degrees under overcast skies. My name is Chad Holmes. His name is Ian Welsh. We are with you this morning for the Chad Holmes Show. 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app and at YouTube.com. And the 98.9 WXCO page on the YouTube. You can join us by calling or texting us at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297 to join us here this morning. Coming up in just a few minutes at 9:21, we'll be joined by Susan Crawford, who is a candidate for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court election coming up in just over a month's time. So it'll be very nice to talk to Judge Crawford up at 9:21. Then at 9:34, we're going to talk to Cohen Preby, D.C. Everest High School senior, a young man that's been a four-year player for the Evergreen boys basketball team, all-conference performer. But then he suffered a significant injury, a foot injury in football, in the final game of the football season. He had decided to play football this year and was of great help to the Evergreens, who made it to the state semifinals, but then missed a big chunk of the basketball season. He has returned. So I wanted to talk about that tough aspect for a few months where he had to miss basketball here in his senior year and now heading towards the playoffs. So Cohen Preby coming up at 9:34. And then coming up at 9:51, it will be our daily history lesson. We will talk about some famous events that have been celebrated in history, or maybe not celebrated, celebrity birthdays, and also special events being acknowledged, and also we will have our number for the day.
Yes.
And Ian Welsh will be our test subject again, because every morning we wrap things up by giving Ian the number for the day quiz. One answer is correct. Two are incorrect. So based on the math, he should get one out of three right just by guessing, 33%. But that has proven harder than one would think recently.
Yes, it has.
3 weeks in a row, you've had one out of five.
Yeah.
But
it's not very good.
But already, we're just past the midway point of the week with 3 days down, 2 days to go. Mm-hmm. And you've already clinched a passing week. You're two out of three so far this week.
It's looking pretty good.
So you have got a passing week. Now we want a winning week.
Yes.
Which, of course, is
winning week.
Getting more right than wrong. And we would love to see you be able to get a match of your best ever week. If you get today and tomorrow right, you'd have four out of five, and that would tie things up. So, yep, so that will be the end of the show. But that is Ian Welsh. Good morning to you, Ian Welsh.
Good morning, Chad.
How are things for you this morning? Anything that we should know about before we get moving on this lovely Thursday morning?
Well, not very too much. Last few days it's been a little quiet. I haven't been auditioning for any shows recently. I know there's been a couple of auditions in the past few weeks, but I'm actually keeping my focus on the auditions that are coming up, not this coming weekend, but the weekend after that, because the Wausau Community Theater is doing a auditions for their summer show, Hanastasia. And I've been checking the signups, and there is quite a few people signed up for both days of auditions. There's over 50 people already.
Very good, and there'll be a lot of competition, but you tend to have it. You're part of the cream that rises to the top, so we have confidence things will go okay for you in that respect, so best of luck as you get to that. Real quickly, later in the show, we have celebrity birthdays. I wanted to mention one, a celebrity who would have been celebrating his birthday today, but had passed away, and one of my all-time favorite shows, and if you're in radio, you have to have loved WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh.
I mean, I can never get classic enough show of WKRP in Cincinnati. And I think of a wonderful cast. I mean, the way I look at television shows, especially, if you're changing the cast constantly, then it means there's something wrong.
Yeah.
That, you know, something's not working. But WKRP in Cincinnati, the original WKRP in Cincinnati, they had a new WKRP in Cincinnati years later, but I don't count that. But I'm talking about the original WKRP in Cincinnati that ran, I think, for 4 years. Their cast never changed because I think it was a perfect cast. I started with the big guy, Arthur Carlson, played by Gordon Jump. He had Les Nessman, the news guy.
Yep.
Had Andy Travis, had Herb Tarlick, the loud clothes sales rep, had Jennifer Marlowe, played by Lonnie Anderson, the receptionist, Bailey Quarters, the copywriter and then news person, Venus Flytrap, and then, of course, Dr. Johnny Fever, played by the great Howard Hessman. And today would have been Howard Hessman's birthday. He was born on this date in 1940. He would have been 85 years old. And I don't know. I think a lot of people are remembering it, but I wanted to take an opportunity to remember him because I just think, number one, he was a very interesting man as well. People should read about him. He was somebody who lived quite a life. In fact, he came of age in San Francisco in the 1960s and for this improv comedy group named The Committee. And the first time I ever came across The Committee, and it had some really talented people in it. Among the other actors in it was Peter Bonners, and he played the dentist on the original Bob Newhart show. But I saw The Committee on old episodes of the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, and it was just hilarious stuff. And Howard Hessman was incredibly funny. And also, I'm a big fan of Dragnet, the Jack Webb series, Sergeant Joe Friday. Back in the late 60s, Harry Morgan, who went on to play Colonel Potter in MASH, he was Jack Webb's partner, Officer Bill Gannon. And Howard Hessman actually had a guest shot on Dragnet. And Dragnet is not supposed to be a comedy or be funny. But I always laughed a lot at Dragnet because Jack Webb played his character so seriously. And looking back and some of the way that he handled some of these cases, I find hilarious. In fact, I have Dragnet on DVD. I mean, I'm that big of a fan. But Howard Hessman was a guest on that, and he was great on that. But I just had to mention this morning because as a radio person, WKRP is such a – sometimes situation comedies, in some of the episodes, you know, not realistic. And I know radio people are driven nuts because during the radio aspects, and they turn on the microphone. They're never wearing headphones.
Oh, yeah.
And you can also hear the music, because when you turn on the microphone, you don't hear the audio on the speakers in a studio.
Right.
They cut it off because there'd be some sort of, you know, a little bit of backwash with it. So radio people, they get all upset about that. But some of the other aspects of it, some of the storylines really were that you could identify with if you have worked in radio for a long time. Some of the interpersonal relationships you could understand as well. So here
one of my favorite episodes of the show was the famous a turkey drop.
Yeah,
episode.
The turkey drop.
Because you didn't actually see it happening because it was on radio. You had to imagine what was happening. It just... some great lines in that. But the final line of that episode was just the real punchline. It's like, as a God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
And actually,
puts the whole episode in perspective. Like, he didn't know.
And actually, one of my favorite parts of that show, that episode, is they had less talking to the camera, and as he was describing what was happening, and then they cut to the studio where Andy Bailey and Johnny Fever were in there, and all of a sudden you hear Les's voice on the speakers, and he's saying they're dropping something, you know, and then all of a sudden he realizes they're turkeys. He goes, oh my God, they're turkeys, they're dropping like wet cement. And you see Howard Hessman as Johnny Fever start to smile because you could see the humor in it at that very moment. So again, if you're somebody who has never seen WKRP in Cincinnati, I would encourage you to find
a DVD at your local library.
There you go.
They have the whole series on DVD.
Very nice, very nice. Hey, before we get to our break and then Judge Crawford, do you want to know what the... because I forgot to mention. Would you like to know the topic?
What is the topic for today's number?
Yeah, so we get to the number for the day at the very end of the program. The topic... supermarket grocery carts.
Supermarket grocery carts.
Sort of an odd little subject here today.
Okay.
Supermarket grocery carts. So that will be our number for the day quiz. So that is coming up. With Ian Walsh, I'm Chad Holmes. Coming up, Judge Susan Crawford. We'll be talking to her coming up next. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And welcome back. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. The time is 9:21. Coming up later today, we're going to get a visit here, a campaign visit here in Wausau. One of the candidates for the state Supreme Court, Judge Susan Crawford, will be paying a visit to our community. In fact, she's on her way now, and we're very happy as she makes the trek to spend a few minutes with Judge Crawford. And first of all, Judge, thank you for spending a little time with us.
Well, good morning, Chad. It is a pleasure to be here.
Well, number one, let's get right into it, because one thing that I noticed, I was talking yesterday on the program, actually, it was kind of funny that when I get home from work and when I want to get away from it all, I like to watch YouTube, and I see a lot of ads going up against you on YouTube, a lot of money already in this race. But I wanted to get through all of those commercials and everything else and ask a simple question. What is your judicial philosophy? What would you bring to the state Supreme Court that we aren't finding out in a lot of these 15 or 30-second commercials that are bombarding us?
Yeah. Well, thanks for that, Chad. You know, I'm bringing common sense and a sense of right from wrong. So my judicial philosophy is pretty simple. I always make sure I get the facts right, because I think the truth is really important in our justice system. and make sure that I'm applying the law fairly and impartially. And I really pay attention to the people in my courtroom and what their dispute is, and just try to get to a practical, common sense decision under the law that protects their rights. So
I think that is very important. And another question, I'm sorry, you kind of broke up there. I thought you had stopped here. I'm sorry about that.
on the road, sorry about that.
No problem at all. One thing for myself over the years, and I've talked to people about judicial races over the years, the idea of equal justice under law. And one thing that kind of concerned me in comments made by the former Attorney General, Mr. Schimmel, was talking about the January 6th folks and being concerned about that they were being treated unfairly. And my thought is there have been a lot of people that, away from those folks who I thought there was a lot of evidence that they did what they did, that are not treated fairly within the system. How do you look at the idea of equal justice under law? How close are we in our society to getting to a point where we do have equal justice under law?
Well, it's something that I really work for every day in my courtroom as a judge. So, you know, if somebody is sitting there in the courtroom with a high-priced lawyer, you know, backing them up, making their arguments for them, or if they're sitting in court all by themselves presenting their own case, I really try to make sure there's an even playing field and that everybody gets their day in court. And sometimes that means for the person that doesn't have a lawyer that, you know, I need to give them some instructions on how the procedure works in the court, just to make sure that they have that opportunity. So I think it's really important. I do think that we continue to see inequalities in our justice system, and largely that is because some people just don't have the same resources that others do to make their cases. You know, there's a real scarcity of lawyers in our state who are available at an affordable cost to help people. And, that's really concerning to me, but I do everything I can in my own courtroom to make sure that everybody gets a fair shake.
Talk a little bit about your background, because right now you say, as you said, you are running a courtroom as a judge, but you've had plenty of other experiences. You've seen the system from many different angles, haven't you?
I sure have, yep. And, you know, I grew up in Chippewa Falls, so that's kind of where I got my values and what made me the person I am today. But I started my legal career as a prosecutor at the Wisconsin Department of Justice, handling the toughest felony cases all the way to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And later represented people in our courtrooms across the state, often when their rights had been taken away by the government. So this is, you know, I was representing voters. I represented public school teachers. I also represented Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin and their doctors to make sure that they could provide health care services to women. So that's all important part of my experience. And I've now been on the bench as a judge for 6.5 years or so, and have handled every kind of case that comes through our trial courts, our circuit courts. And I just have really broad experience and deep experience, and I think that'll serve me well on the Supreme Court.
On April 1st, and even before then, with early voting, people will see two names on the ballot, yourself and Brad Schimmel. What are the differences as you talk to people, as you talk about yourself, but also there's always a comparison. What makes you the better choice in this race?
Yeah. Well, you know, I just described kind of my career. I've always worked hard to protect the rights of Wisconsinites under our laws and under our Constitution, make sure we have safe communities, common sense principles like, you know, somebody, whether they're a person or whether they're a corporation, if they've harmed our community, I believe they need to be held accountable. The big contrast, I think, with between me and my opponent, Brad Schimmel, is that he's a partisan politician. He's somebody that has an extreme agenda, and he's trying to bring a political agenda to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And I think we're seeing that definitely play out in this race. He's now got Elon Musk spending millions of dollars backing him, and Elon Musk has openly said that he wants Brad Schimmel on the Supreme Court to advance the Trump agenda. So, you know, that's That's not what the Wisconsin Supreme Court is about. It's about making fair, impartial decisions and protecting the rights of Wisconsinites under our laws. And that's what I intend to do on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, not to pursue some political agenda.
And finally, I guess in our final moments here, how hard is it to fight back against that kind of money when the richest person in the world decides they don't want you on this in this position? I imagine I imagine as you go put your head on the pillow once in a while, you think, how did I get myself into a situation like this?
Yeah, you know, when I was a kid growing up in Chippewa Falls, I just never could have imagined that I would be fighting the richest man in the world to protect justice in Wisconsin. It's just, you know, kind of mind-blowing. But it is, it's worth a fight, and they're, you know, going to probably continue to dump money into this campaign, running these, you know, terrible false ads against me. And we're just going to, you know, I'm going to keep my head up and keep getting the word out and using what I call people power, you know, the grassroots, to help people understand what the real choice in this race is all about.
Judge Susan Crawford, I appreciate you as you're on the road spending a few minutes with us. It's terrific you're coming here to Central Wisconsin to talk to the voters here as well. But best of luck on your travels, and hopefully we'll be able to talk again.
Oh, thanks so much, Chad.
That is Judge Susan Crawford, again, candidate for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. We're going to take a timeout, and they can come right back. We have an information update straight ahead. News, weather, sports, entertainment all coming up, and then more of the Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. 9:34 on this overcast Thursday morning, 37 degrees. Exciting time in high school sports, and playoffs underway, hockey, girls basketball, boys basketball next week. And last night, had a chance to talk to one of the top seniors in the area, senior guard for the D.C. Everest boys basketball team, Cohen Preby, and a young man who had been an all-conference performer, but had to suffer an injury in football that cost him some time during the course of the first part of the season on the hardwood. And last night on the Big High School Sports Show, myself and Jeff Gress had a chance to talk to Cohen Preby about coming back from that injury and a whole bunch more. I wanted to bring you on because we obviously talked before, but talk about it was a little bit of a smoother run when we last talked a year ago. And this year it's been obviously, we talk about ups and downs. I imagine that that really is apropos for what you've been going through between the fall, your football season, getting injured at the very worst time, right at the end of the in the second half of your state semifinal, and then having to work your way back here in the winter. I guess before we get to specifics, what has the process been like emotionally? Because I imagine in your senior year, you have so much that you want to accomplish, to have to sit out and rehab in a big part of your basketball season had to be very difficult.
Yeah, especially early on in my injury, like right when it happened, I knew basketball was coming around the corner. It was pretty hard for me. Just that I had to watch the guys, you know, sit at practice, watch a couple of few games. But, you know, as I started, you know, getting off the cast, getting off the crutches, I started gaining hope that I would get back like as soon as possible. And, you know, it's kind of started resonating with me that I would be back soon. Mm-hmm. So I was definitely a better lot than it was early on.
Well, how do you do, when I used to say our players would get hurt, like, you know, blow their knee out in football season and then maybe have hopes to make it in the last game. I mean, I feel bad. You know, high school injuries stink. I hate them. I feel really bad for any players.
There's no red shirts.
Yeah, and you don't get it back. I mean, what do you do to make that time not only constructive for yourself but also stay engaged? You know, it's practice is sometimes hard enough when you got to participate in it because you want to get to the game, and now you got to sit there and watch all these guys. I mean, what was the mental aspect, or what did you do for yourself to try to stay engaged in that? I gotta imagine that's difficult.
Yeah. I tried to stay, especially like close with my teammates, just trying to help them out, like teach them as much as I knew. That really helped me stay focused with the team and kind of try to keep them like rolling while I was out. And then just trying to stay positive and like hoping I'll get back eventually.
And I gotta imagine just as much as also a a good psychiatric session where being around your buddies also helps you forget things, mellow out, you know, that camaraderie, because that tightness is why you're there too at the same time for that team bonding.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we did team bond a lot, and it was, you know, obviously not playing. I got to, you know, kind of get to know guys more like on a personal level, you know, where I'd be able to relate to them. So it definitely helped when I got back to know guys more, know what they were doing, and yeah, stuff like that. Yeah.
Something you said before we went on the air, because I asked you about the injury, and you said no regrets. Can you maybe talk about the idea? Because you have been a really terrific basketball player for a number of years. You were part of a great run for your football team. But at the same time, I'm thinking, you know, but you don't want to miss a big chunk of your senior year. But you say, nope, I have no regrets. Can you talk a bit about your thought on that, on playing football, taking what we call a risk and being injured, and then looking back and saying, well, still no regrets? Why do you feel that way?
Yeah, so obviously basketball is my favorite sport, but football, I still just had a love for the game. And I talked to my parents this summer about playing, and I was kind of on the fence, but, you know, they're really pushing me, because, like, when I got older, would I be like, you know, do I regret not playing football? And I said yes. So I decided to play, and, I mean, great, great run. So, I mean, for any, like, high school kids out there, I would say never not play a sport because you're focused on another sport. It's nice to – obviously, like, you don't want to miss your senior season of basketball, but playing football was – I had some of the – best times of my life playing with the guys, and I had so much fun playing football.
And looking, you know, going into the basketball seasons, and when you shared, you know, I got to know my teammates that much better. How about some of the things that some of your buddies bring to the court? Because obviously you got time to watch them, maybe time to even critique a little bit, help out a little bit, because you could see so much of what they have. And I think that's what's going to make you guys that dangerous team down the stretch, is because you haven't seen yourselves at full strength. Like you said, you're getting back in the flow. But some of your teammates, who do you got with you, and what do they bring to the table that you enjoy about being part of the Everest team with them?
Yeah, senior with us, Casey Studeman, he's one of my good buddies. You know, he brings a lot of leadership, good play down low. He's a good post, hard matchup every night. Cade Felch, junior, he's really been stepping up this year, really stepped up when I was injured. Really good shooter, good leadership as well. Xavier Edwards, played receiver with him. He's really strong, like, offensively, and then defensively he's athletic. Vander Truex, sophomore, really, he crashes the offensive glass hard, which is big for us because, I mean, when you get an offensive rebound, it's huge. You know, momentum shift, usually you get a bucket right after it. And, yeah, it rounds out our sideline. Then we have Brendan Peterson, Chase Pavlovich, our seniors, who are both really, really nice guys, really nice teammates. They do a lot of, like, the junkyard dog work, you would say, you know, play defense, dive on loose balls. So, yeah.
Are a lot of those guys football and basketball players?
Yeah. Brendan and Xavier and Vander are, yeah. Okay. So a couple, yeah.
And does that – I mean, I'm assuming that only helps in so many ways to be around each other more often, where it just trickles into the different seasons for you.
Yeah, I know, obviously, with playing with football with them, I just with them pretty much fall and winter, so learn a lot about them and, you know, in their life and get closer to them.
Again, we're talking to Colin Preby from D.C. Everest, senior for the Evergreen Boys basketball team here on 98.9 WXCO. I imagine that this season is almost like trying to jump into a car that's moving, because the season's going on, and then, hey, you're ready to go.
Yep.
Got to jump into that vehicle and try to get up to speed as quickly as possible. What did you find out in the early games? Was it more difficult than maybe even you thought? Because I imagine that when you got out on the court, you felt pretty good physically, but I imagine missing that game time was kind of difficult.
Yeah, especially so during the summer, we played really well as a team. I thought our chemistry got a lot better. And then obviously coming back in the season, it was kind of weird because I was kind of feels like you're just kind of getting thrown back out there. So kind of, you know, guys sort of adapt into different things in the game. And, you know, we started getting a lot more, like, pick and roll stuff. And it was, you know, I was kind of like, I was trying to, like, move around, but, like, maybe I was running into guys or, you know, I wasn't mentally, like, I haven't played the game in a while. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, it's weird because you kind of just forget things kind of. Like, it just, you forget where guys are going to be. And then we just had to redo our offense kind of mid-season, right, which is obviously hard, but I think we're hitting our right stride right about now, and it's perfect for playoffs.
And I gotta imagine we've talked off air about it with you coming back, like, it's just you need time to hit your stride, because as hard as you try to recreate that in practice, you can't create that game experience, especially with the diversity and all these teams that you're facing. We're talking about all these teams wailing on each other at different times and bringing different things to the table. So I got to imagine that in and of itself is a little bit challenging to that. It just takes some time, and which is why you got exciting things coming down the stretch here with, you know, just one game left of the regular season and playoffs starting.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially cardio was the biggest thing for me. Especially, you know, game reps. It's kind of like even practice, it's a different type of cardio. Like, I just, first couple games, I would just get really tired and trying to push through that. But I'd say now I'm getting a lot of my cardio's back. And then just the mental aspect of, you know, trusting my foot. And making, like, knowing that if I land hard, like, everything's going to be all right. And also another thing was, you know, kind of my leg was a lot weaker than my left one. So just it kind of felt uneven for a little bit. But, you know, and my right leg would get more fatigued. Like, I started getting shin splints early on, and which everything's kind of going away now. But it's still a little, like, weaker than my other leg. So it's trying to get that back.
How do you develop that trust? I mean, for those of us who don't have to worry about going out there and trying to compete at a very high level, it says, oh, I got to trust it. That's easier said than done. Was there anything that you were able to do to try to help that process along?
Yeah, I mean, it is hard to do, but honestly, it just came with playing. I just tried to play as normal as I could and not try to, you know, use my left leg more or not use my right leg as much. I mean, that's how you get injured again. It's like not using the thing. But I just keep playing and just it's pretty much just trust it. Trust that it's going to be all right and the doctors are right and you're ready to play.
Let's talk about tomorrow. And actually, we'll talk about the next two games because it's kind of a fun way to end the regular season and start the playoffs. You got East tomorrow night and then you got West in the playoff game a week from Friday. What about the East game? Because it was before you came back, right? They played the first time, and it was a tight game, and East was able to pull it out, and this time it's on your court. What do you expect tomorrow night? Obviously, it's a great game to kind of launch into the postseason, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm expecting, like, a high-energy game. I know, yeah, Jesse just got back from mono, so, you know, they're kind of trying to get ready to roll for playoffs, kind of basically get their stride kind of like we are. And I think it's a big one just in the fact that you want to win going into playoffs and be on the right foot. Like, we don't play for another week, so we don't want to hang on a loss and, you know, kind of be down on ourselves, you know, be high up energy, you know, after a good win against a good East team who's the number one seed. And then, yeah, just be ready for West.
Well, what about that game? Because obviously, I tell you, I don't know. I mean, I think Cade Felch had the game of his career the first time around.
And Xavier,
and then Xavier had the game of his career. I hope there's nobody else that's sort of waiting to do that. But seriously, I mean, obviously, those are two very competitive games, and obviously there's going to be a lot of energy in the field house. As you said, you guys know each other.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. But after you get through tomorrow night's game, how are you going to look at preparing for that game? Because, I mean, I think the emotion of a playoff game, especially as a senior, is something that you have to be aware of, correct?
Yeah. I'm just not trying to look at it as my last game. You know, kind of think about not trying to dwell on, like, dang, my career's almost over. And, you know, be confident. And obviously Wes is I think they play hard. They're physical. Mm-hmm. So getting ready for that. And, yeah, just preparing as much as we can, just like any game we would, not just because it's playoffs.
What kind of matchup is Griffin Lang?
Yeah, I mean, I played against Griffin since my freshman year, so a really good player. He's very patient. He makes the right play. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to playing. But also, what I was talking about with my mom was, it's just, I kind of, even if when we win, I feel bad. Like, me and him we're close family friends.
Right, right.
So I feel bad for him that, like, you know, season's over, and it's just kind of like we're done playing each other. Yeah. So it's kind of just something sad, but, you know, obviously not going to think about that during the game. But
for your team to make the run you guys want to make, obviously, and for your season to continue and last as many games as possible, what do you think you guys have to do consistently down the stretch here that'll ultimately make you the most successful on continuing the season? Because it's one and done if you don't.
I think we've been playing a lot better defensively. I think playoffs is won defensively. If you can, you know, guard up and play hard, I think that's key in winning playoffs, because sometimes you just don't hit your shots. And especially when there's like that, like Friday's gonna be a lot of energy. You know, you're gonna be a little. Some people get a little nervous, and, you know, it's a big shot here and there. But you know, I think we play best in transition. Continue to play in transition, just, you know, playing hard, winning 50-50 balls, I think will really help our team.
Real fast, before our final question, do you get nervous in big situations?
I used to, not anymore, though. I kind of, you know, from playing football to basketball and playing basketball all my 4 years, it's kind of just, I don't really think about it anymore. I've had plenty of situations that I was able to grow from, and... I don't really think about it.
That's a good way to be. Yeah. And I guess our final question, and now it's a really good question since it is your senior year, as you wrap up a long high school athletic career. What piece of advice would you give a freshman like yourself when you first came in at DC Everest? That piece of advice to take as a freshman to carry through their career?
Yeah. So I got a couple things, but one is, you know, don't take your time for granted. Like I said earlier, it goes by it's like a blink of an eye. And by the time you're going to college, then you'll be working. So just don't take your time for granted. What we're talking about with football is don't play, focus on one sport, do whatever like you love. If you're play three sports, two sports, doesn't really matter, but you know, do what you enjoy and then just, you know, school, focus on school. School's obviously big. You get a lot of scholarships for doing good in school. And then, yeah, just work hard, and, you know, the best will come.
Cohen Preeby, D.C. Everest High School boys basketball senior. Terrific young man. Great to talk to him. Time is 9:49. Coming up, our final segment of the morning, our daily history lesson and number for the day quiz here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Time is 9:52 here on the 27th day of February of 2025. It is day number 58 of this year. There are 307 days remaining before we hit 2026. Some famous events have occurred on this date in history. Back on this date in 1951, the 22nd Amendment to the United States Constitution. I'll give you a quiz. Do you know what the 22nd Amendment is? I doubt it.
Well, the top of my head, I do not know.
The 22nd Amendment to the Constitution limits presidents to two terms. Oh. It was ratified on this date in 1951. On this date in 1955, Billboard magazine reported that 45 RPM records were outselling the larger, heavier 78 RPM platters for the first time. 1974, 51 years ago today, People magazine was published for the first time. On this date in 1997, God received an American Family Publisher sweepstakes entry mailed to Florida's Bushnell Assembly of God Church. The message began, God, you may be already a winner.
Jeez.
I wonder if God won the jackpot. Probably not. On this date in 2013, Pope Benedict XVI presented his farewell address to Vatican City. And on this date in 2021, toy maker Hasbro announced that Mr. Potato Head would be changed to the gender-neutral Potato Head.
Interesting.
Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. The Oscar award-winning actress, widow of the great Paul Newman, Joanne Woodward, 95 years old. Actor Adam Baldwin is 63. Actor Grant Shaw of Melrose Place is 63. Former first daughter Chelsea Clinton turns 45. Josh Groban is 44. Actor Kate Mara from House of Cards, Chappaquiddick, and The Martian is 42. Jenny Farley is better known from Jersey Shore. You know what Jersey Shore is, the MTV show?
I've heard of it, but I haven't watched
Jenny
it.
Farley is J-Wow, one of the stars of Jersey Shore, 39 years old. And Jenny Boyd of Legacies and The Originals is 34. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO.
Happy birthday.
Some special events being acknowledged today. It is Big Breakfast Day. It is Protein Day.
Very important.
It is Retro Day. It is Strawberry Day.
Delicious.
It is No Brainer Day. And it is Pokemon Day. Alrighty then. It is now time for our number for the day quiz. Every day we give Ian Welsh three different choices. One is right, two are wrong for the number for the day. And based on the math, he should get one out of three right, 33%. So based on that, anything above 33% is a passing grade for the week. Anything below 33% is a failing grade for the week. But we want better than just a passing grade. We want him to have a winning week, which yes. is more right than wrong. So 3 out of 5. And his best ever week is 4 out of 5. So that is something we can still get to this week.
Yes, it is.
So far this week, you are 2 right and 1 wrong. So you've already clinched a passing grade for this week.
But I can do better.
And today we're going to try to clinch a winning week.
Mm-hmm. All Supermarket right. grocery carts.
Yep. Number for the day. The miles the average grocery cart travels in its life.
In its life.
These grocery carts, they don't usually change them out that much.
No. Nope.
So the miles the average grocery cart travels in its life.
Okay, what are my choices?
Choices are A, 3,000 miles. B, 30,000 miles. Okay. C, 100,000 miles. 3,000 miles, okay. 30,000 miles, 100,000 miles.
Is it just the average grocery cart?
The average grocery cart travels in its life.
3,000, 30,000, or 100,000. Okay, I'm just going to go with my gut here. I'm going to say 30,000. I'm going to go with B. It's my final answer. Lock it in.
All right. Number for the day. The miles the average grocery cart travels in its life is 30,000 miles.
Nice.
3 in a row. You got a winning
That's
week.
That's a lot of miles on a single grocery
yes,
cart.
Yes, it is. But you've clinched a winning week, and now, tomorrow, you can
get a chance to
match your all-time best.
My record and make up for the last 3 weeks
yeah,
of one getting one out of five.
You're either cold or you're hot.
Yeah, you're no hot. Between right now.
You're hot for 4 out of 5, then you were cold for 1 out of 5 for 3 weeks, and now you're hot again.
Yep.
All right, well, have a great rest of your day.
You too, Chad. Happy Thursday, everybody.
And thanks to Judge Susan Crawford for joining us. Tomorrow morning, Mike Clemens and Paul Micklig will be with us. Coming up next, it is Matt and Air on Air. Tonight, Wausau West boys basketball against Merrill, 7 o'clock. So lots on the plate. Have a great rest of your Thursday, and hopefully you'll be with us tomorrow. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.